You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryou.
We are the TV BFFs, and this is the podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And Brandi, we're back for week two of our special run of episodes recapping season two of The Traitors, US. Today, we're covering episodes 4 and 5, and they were some eventful episodes, I feel.
This show is just firing on all cylinders in every episode so far. And I'm so impressed and so happy to be watching it because I came to the show this season and I'm loving it. I truly look forward to it every week.
It's so good. I think it's the best and my favorite reality show on TV right now, which says a lot. Let's bring on our guest today to help us talk about these two episodes. She is a comic. She's a podcast host. She's also a friend and a former guest on TV BFFs, Remy Casimir. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, you Welcome. Guys. I'm so excited to be here with you talking about this. We have been texting each other all week being like, yeah. What a show!
Like, saving it for the pod, but cannot wait.
Literally. Yeah. You're like, I have so much to say. I'm like, oh, me too.
Wait, so Remy, you were fans since season one. Like, what's your quick Traitors backstory history?
Yeah. I'm a big reality show person in general. So I was so excited to see like the amalgam of people put together in this house. I had never heard of Traitors like as a concept before.
Right.
And yeah, I was on board day one with season one. And then in the interim, since this one came out, I've been watching the other ones.
You have. So I watched UK, but not any of the rest. I love season one of UK. I thought it was so good.
UK is amazing. And then I did a trip to Australia because my cousin got married there. And I was like, how will I survive this flight? Like, I've never taken a flight that long.
Yeah.
And I downloaded seasons one and two of Australia because on brand, got to get accustomed to the accent. And I watched season one on the flight there and then season two on the flight back. Just binged.
That sounds wonderful.
Scintillating TV as well.
And like what I like about it is it's always basically the same gameplay, but they all have their tweaks and their twists. The hosts are always a little bit different and have a different approach. And there's a couple different twists here and there about number of traitors or how things happen. So like they keep it fresh enough, which I love.
They keep them on their toes. Yeah. There was actually one, we'll talk about this in the episode, but one game that came up in the second episode that we're covering where I was watching it with my sister and her fiance and I go, oh my God, I love this game. And then it wasn't that, it was like a different one. And I was like, well, this is even fucking better.
Like way to yes and.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So what do you say we jump right into it, shall
Please.
We? So we're doing episodes 4 and 5. So episode 4, The Funeral, starts with the murder in plain sight. So let's talk quickly about the three that we have as traitors. So we have Phaedra, we have Dan, we have Parvati. Remy, what are your thoughts on these three as traitors so far through the first three episodes? Did you know and love any of these people coming in? Thoughts on these three as the core traitors of the show?
When Phaedra got cast, I was like, she's a traitor. Like before she had even been picked, I was like, oh, they brought her on this show to be a traitor. Like she is so good at just like circumlocution, basically. And she's a slippery one. She gets out of every situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I watched her on Atlanta for years. For a long time, I did love her. And then, you know, some stuff happened where I was like, get her off my TV. And then she came back for Ultimate Girls Trip and I was like, God damn it, I love her again. But then I was like, no. So yeah, I think she is being wonderfully traitorous right now. Parvati, I had never come across before. Dan, I'd never come across before. I never watched Big Brother.
Me neither.
Okay. Or Survivor.
Or Survivor.
I'm not a Survivor person.
Okay.
Me neither.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been a Survivor person. I watched the first seasons when they aired and then took a long, long, long time off. And then the last year I've been rewatching or watching for the first time a lot of like classic, mm-hmm. like heyday Pantheon seasons.
It's a classic
seasons.
One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Parvati quickly became like a favorite. Like I get the obsession with Parvati as a survivor person. Same with Sandra. So all in on those two.
Can I ask, was Parvati likable on Survivor? Like, is part of the gameplay in Survivor currying favor with other people? Or...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So was she like everyone's friend?
She was like in earlier seasons, she like really played up like sexy, flirty. I'm going to kind of manipulate these boys. But she was intentional about it and like self-aware about it in a really fun, really great way. So that kind of rose her esteem in the fandom. And then she came back and just then added like really like laser point strategy as well in later seasons. So like all around really great player, fun player to watch, great personality. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of her vibe.
She's like I like her. I'm kind of unclear about why everybody in the house like hates her. Or I mean, according to Phaedra.
I think it's a reputation thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a reputational thing.
And I also just do think she is a bad actress.
Like yes,
she's a terrible okay, guys, can we just talk about Parvati having to decide who to give the poison chalice to?
Yes. So let's get back to the show. Yeah. So
yeah.
She's left with the assignment of handing out the poison chalice. She's in this room. That's how the last episode ends. She identifies Ekin.
Yeah.
Is what we learn.
Love of my life.
Ekin Zoo.
And Ekin has no idea. She's like, I will fuck up these traitors and sure I'll have a drink. And Parvati, you'd never be a traitor. Thanks, doll. You know?
That was such a perfect line from her. She's like, you'd never be a traitor. I love you so much. Oh my God.
What was so funny too is everybody else that Parvati tried to target, those women aren't going to drink out of that rusty ass glass.
No.
Yeah.
Like she tried to give it to Sheree. She tried to give it to Mercedes. I'm like, no one in the Bravoverse,
no.
Unless it's like one of the drunk boys on Southern Charm,
right.
would ever touch that chalice.
Yeah.
Like when she went to that with MJ, I'm like, you've got to be kidding.
You've got to be kidding. Yeah.
She landed appropriately at a Love Islander, I think was probably the right call.
So sad though.
Are you an Ekin Su fan? Because you're a Love Island fan.
I
know this.
I love Ekin Su.
Aw.
I love her so much. Even if she's a liar, an actress, get out. Like, she's just so cute. And she's so silly.
Thankfully, though, we love Ekin and she's not murdered right away. It's a slow-acting poison. So, like...
Good play by the producers so we could keep her a little longer. Mm-hmm.
And it sets up one of the best challenges we've seen so far. Just, like,
full,
like, the concept of the funeral, which we'll get to. One thing, though, before that happens, so overnight, Deontay leaves, and it goes totally and completely unremarked upon. Mm-hmm. So that was something.
Mm-hmm.
I did some digging. It was very much like a mental health thing. Couldn't handle the pressure. Like, just wasn't.
He was literally too nice to be on the show.
He was too nice of a guy. Yeah.
Like, so. That is so noble.
I know. I was like, you're so faithful. Like, nobody would ever accuse you. And he wasn't even afraid of that. He was just like... I've sent my friend home.
Yeah.
The sweet, gentle soul of a professional boxer. Who knew? You know? So that drops the numbers by one. And then we get to breakfast the next morning. Dan and Phaedra come in first. So Remy, last time I identified a trend, the first two breakfasts, they always had a traitor come in as one of the first people in both times. And now this third time, two traitors come in first. So the trend continues. Parvati also comes in. I think also a good bit of producing, like get the three of them in there together
to
have to like that quick, hushed, anxious chat about what happened. Who did you give it to? Parvati says she gave it to Ekin Su and Phaedra, nearly faints. She can't, like hates that Ekin Su got the chalice, thinks it's going to like cast aspersions on her because what was it like she voted for?
Yeah, she was like a throwaway vote for her in the last round table.
Yeah. And then... people start arriving, which is like we talked about this last time. Just one of my favorite things about this show is the breakfast.
It's my favorite part is breakfast.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting when the traders are there by themselves and they're having a little conversation and then like a door opens and they have to like switch it on.
Yeah.
And they're
immediately.
Like,
yeah.
Yay, you're alive.
Yeah. You can see the bad actors, like literal actors.
Dan
sucks. Okay, can we just start here?
We can. I'm
gonna have strong Dan sucks opinions for most of these two episodes. I'm not a fan of Dan.
Me
don't
neither.
Like Dan.
I disagree.
Oh no!
I need to hear it.
It's not. I don't know. Like I do want him sent home.
Okay.
But I don't know. I guess I feel like he has played the game kind of well so far. Like he's been able to switch it up
yeah.
on people.
He's good at switching. He is very good at switching it up on people.
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty masterful at that. But I just also, he just, I don't know. There was one line, I think it's in the second episode, though, but I was just like, what? What? That doesn't make any sense. He's like, they're like, he's like, yeah, when I don't have this shield, you know, like, sweat.
Yeah. I think that's what it is for me. Like, I think you're right. He has been a very effective, like, strategic game player as a trader, but his social game just really bugs me and annoys me. I never believe him. And maybe it's because we know too much. So we know that he's acting, so it becomes more obvious. But like every time he speaks, I'm like, I'm not buying it. And also it's just annoying. Like, he says like the same three things. All of his lines are so clearly lines. Like, I don't have someone yet, but I'm close. I just need to sleep really on it. Like, I hate his lines. They just bug me, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. He is a girl in the bedroom that way. He's always close, but he never never gets there.
Oh, man, I love it. We have Janelle come in, and she does a very effective thing where she kind of breaks down all the cliques, kind of all like the alliances that have formed, which is great. So she identifies like all the Bravo people, you know, the housewives and kind of miscellaneous.
The housewives clique, the only place I want to be.
Housewives clique. The Gamers, which is CT, Dan, Sandra, and Parvati.
I love the name Gamers.
Yeah, really nice. Great stuff.
I'm like, with their little headsets.
Yeah. And then I love, she goes, the Faithfuls, who she thinks are faithful, which are Bergie, Trishel, Peter, John, and Kevin, who's a faithful, but a really dumb faithful.
Yeah. Guys, the amount of times different people said Kevin is dumb. Like, it's just like, what do you think about Kevin? Kevin's so dumb.
Wait, Brandy, that was literally, I don't know why, because I watched Bling Empire. I didn't recognize who Kevin was until this episode when I think it was Tamara who was like, Kevin's just so dumb. And I was like, dumb? Kevin, he is dumb. I know Kevin.
As Chris Burns put it on our last episode, poor Kevin. Just poor Kevin.
Poor Kevin, yeah.
So we get Ekansu walks in and everyone is like, the traders are like, what the hell? She's supposed to be dead. And I'm like, this is where like my producer hat starts chiming. I'm like, guys, the clue said it's a slow acting poison.
Yeah.
These are clearly fed lines. Mm-hmm. None of you are actually shocked. So like that one kind of bumps me a little bit. But, you know, you kind of have to have it in a show like this. You need like the reaction and the camp of it all.
Yeah.
So Ekansu comes in and then Alan arrives. And this is where this episode kicks into high gear for me. Dressed all in black.
I was going to say, speaking of the camp of it all.
Yeah. Are the hosts for the other iterations of this show like in that same like campy vein as Alan Cumming?
Not as much.
Okay.
No.
Because it does feel like it's his show.
It does.
It totally does. But they all make it seem like it's their show, their mansion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's true.
And then in the Australian version is just he wears a suit and sometimes he wears like kind of like a hunting outfit and everyone's like, Roger.
I like the UK host. I think it's Claudia. Does that sound right?
I think so.
But she can be serious and like do all the lines and do all the setup. But then like you could tell she actually likes the people. And maybe because the season I saw was all like regular folks and non-celebrities, she was like rooting for them during challenges and like really stressful when they were stressed. Like you could tell she's very empathetic with her players, which I really enjoy and feels very different from what Alan is doing.
Okay.
So Alan comes in all dressed in black. Great twist delivery. By the end of the mission, one of you will be dead. It's funeral time. Before that, they're around the castle for a little bit. Anything interesting here? Lars is pushing her. It's an alpha man theory very strongly. It has to be a strong alpha man. Tamara
hates Kevin.
It's Kevin because he's annoying, so it must be him.
Yeah.
Also, wait, can we just remark on Larsa's line, which I think she gave like when she was talking about like being in the housewives clique, and she said that she's better at being in Destiny's Child and not being Beyonce. I was just like, Larsa, where does it come from?
Yeah, I don't love Larsa.
I do not love Larsa.
Yeah, I don't like her on Miami. I don't like her here.
No.
But it's so funny because the housewives, like, they are so well dressed or at least like opulently dressed all the time. And then Alan comes out in this funeral outfit that looks like a yassified Henry VIII, who also teaches the dark arts at Hogwarts.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my God, like wearing a pussy bow better than Lisa Vanderpump ever has. He's like the newest style icon.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he has been serving looks this entire time, but this one I was just like.
But I think it's a piece of like, and Brandy, you mentioned this last time, the production design, the wardrobe, like they just make this show look and feel so fun and so good. And this is like a moment where you're like, yes, all black horses, seven of them, carriages, gowns, like it's just everything, you know?
I love it.
We also get Trishel and Janelle pushing Ekin-Su. She's overacting.
Ekin-Su sucks.
A lot of people think that Ekin-Su sucks.
It's like the worst day for Ekin-Su.
Yeah, not a good day. Not a good day.
She's already dead.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. They hate her.
But Ekin-Su knows. She's like, I can feel it in my veins. I know it's me. I can feel it.
No, I wrote down, they really grasp on to nothing. And I know there's nothing to grasp on to because like, really, like, what can you do except be like, you know what? I'm going after this person this week.
Yeah. We get to the funeral. So the funeral is also a challenge. And this is really interesting. I hadn't seen this before in other versions. Have you, Remy? You've seen more.
No, I thought this was going to be the one where they read like Bible verses and then have to find people in the crowd. You know that funeral one?
Right. Yeah. Like in the pews or whatever.
Yeah.
No. So this one is the challenge is they need to answer questions to narrow down the poisoning victim and save players from like this funeral march along the way. And then they'll end at a gravesite. With it turns out to be three open graves, and then the players who have been saved throw roses into the person they think is the murdered one, and it's an all or nothing. If they're right, they win $20,000. If they're wrong, they don't. So that's kind of like the challenge. And then along the way, we get these questions. The first one was incredible. So the first one is, well, first actually, backing up real quick. So there's some shields from earlier on. So Janelle, Trishel, and Peter, they're safe. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the march.
Janelle, Trishel, and Peter sounds like a folk band.
Yeah.
But specifically a folk band from like the early 2000s to mid 2000s with the name Trishel.
Okay, yeah, too.
Right, exactly. Like Jason Schwartzman produced the records. Do you know what I mean? So we get to this first question and it's hilarious. The question is, players who are safe are the ones born in the same year as another player.
Shady.
No, not MJ almost leaving the show.
Literally.
Like,
just being like, you know what? We're out. I'm out.
He's like, my fucking doctor doesn't know my age, nor does my husband. So
no, why doesn't her husband know? I mean, I get that it's probably a joke.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, can he not book her flights, like, or her doctor's appointments, like, and nobody cares. I never understand this, like, lying about your age, especially like trying to seem younger than you are. Like, this is something I've made fun of my mom for, but I do kind of respect it now. Like, she used to lie up, like when she turned 60, she'd be like, "Yeah, I'm like 65," and we'd be like, "No, you're not," but like. Then we'd be like, you just want to like look good for that age that you are not.
Right.
And like Mercedes looks good regardless of the age. So, yeah, I don't really understand the hang up with it.
It's a smaller hang up turned into a larger just like comedic reality TV moment.
Yeah, you know it's a joke. And I Googled it immediately. She was born in 1972.
So 2 years older than Larson Sandra, born in 1974. They're a match. Oh,
Sandra's burn. Sandra in her interview with her adult braces.
Oh my God.
And her scar on her head from the last challenge, from the graveyard challenge, by the way.
Is that where the scar came from?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She like it, that one where they were avoiding the light in the graveyard. She ran into one of the stones and like marked up her head. So they're a match. And Sandra's like, I'm so surprised. Larsa looks 10 years older than me. Sandra, the queen of just like
deadpan,
just dry deadpan burns. And she has several more later on. I fucking love Sandra. She's so great. And then Dan and Kevin, 83 babies.
Kevin was confused because remember at first he thought he was 1980.
That's right.
Kevin.
Like, poor Kevin. The next question, as sung by a choir. Next to a Bananas portrait. Uh-huh. And the question is, who's still in the funeral march did Johnny Bananas trust the most? No brainer, CT and Trishel. They get that one right.
Yeah. And CT goes, first time he's ever saved me. First time he's ever done anything for me.
Which, by the way, I listened to the Bananas podcast, Death, Taxes, and Bananas. And he's so petty. He's like, fuck you, CT. I've saved you before. I've helped you before. Come on, bro. Like, he's so petty.
Yeah.
And then the third question, it was a whatever. It's just basically like, anyone who's on the red team last time, you're safe too. So we leave Parvati, MJ, and Ekansu as the three up for murder. And then we get to this funeral vote. They're sitting in literal coffins. Parvati's bad acting is just going crazy.
But Trishelle is calling Ekin out for bad acting because Ekin's like, thanks for poisoning me. I don't want to die. I can feel the poison. And Trishelle goes, she's overacting.
She's the traitor.
She's the traitor.
Everyone thinks Ekansu is the traitor. Therefore, MJ is the one who's going to be murdered. So Parvati kind of skates by here. So whether she's acting well or not, skates, doesn't really seem to affect her game. Everyone votes for MJ. Ellen does like six circles of the graves, then finally shuts Ekansu's. And everyone's like, holy fuck, holy shit. And Ekansu is literally buried. And again, she was on the Bananas podcast and confirmed she was in the ground getting dirt thrown
when
on
they
her.
Threw the, oh yeah, my God.
They kept her in there.
Why?
I don't know.
It wasn't even mic'd.
Right.
No, it was mic'd. I saw it. They tried to hide the mics with like a little like scarecrow fabric.
I feel bad because like I wrote down, can we get a different phobia? Because like everybody's like, I'm so afraid of enclosed spaces. I'm so claustrophobic. And it's like, really, are we all claustrophobic?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. No, I would hate just, no, the dirt seeping like slats of the coffin, like getting on her beautiful red lipstick.
I would hate the sound of it. The sound of dirt hitting wood on top of me as I'm underground. That gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Did you notice, though, that MJ was the only one who wasn't wearing all black?
No.
Oh, actually. No.
She was wearing like a black and white coat. Okay. When she had all the roses on her, I was like, they should just implement a rule that if it's unanimous, that person dies too.
Ooh, I like that twist. If you all think they should be dead,
right?
If every single one of you believes, then why not?
They're dead. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. It kind of reminds me, Remy, of like that first episode of UK where they're like,
yes,
line up by, and this isn't a huge spoiler, happens in the first episode, but she's like, line up by who's the weakest, who's the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two weakest, she's like, well, I'm going to take you at your word for it then. Get the hell out. The two weakest are banished. And they just leave before even entering the castle. So I like this idea, Remy, of like, I'm going to take you at your word, faithfuls. Like, all right, if this is what you think, make it so. That would be cool.
There was also when they slammed the coffin on Ekin, that would have like sent shudders down my spine.
Yeah, that's why, like, I was like, there's no way she's in there. That's crazy that she was in there.
Yeah. I mean, was she lying on a podcast? Perhaps. But that's what she claims. She was indeed inside.
But she was definitely in there, though, when they slammed it. They slammed it on her face.
Yeah, for sure.
And then when she was pronounced dead, Phaedra looks shocked for a second and then like smiles at Sheree.
Ooh.
Like really small. But Sheree doesn't see her. And then Phaedra remembers like, oh, I can't be smiling, and goes back to normal.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
That's
great catch.
Wow.
And then Bergie goes, and now she's dead.
Bergie. Bergie has some, not a huge presence, but a couple solid lines in these two episodes, I would say. We get back to the castle. Dan's like, yeah, it was random, but that actually, it's the best murder we could have done because now everyone's confused and people are talking about that. And this is one of those Dan lines I was talking about. People are like, yeah, it just created confusion. And Dan goes, it's a theory for sure.
It's a theory.
Yeah. Like, dude, like just.
And I'm like, I bet he said that 50 times. Like, he just has like five or six lines that he just repeats, and it bugs me. Sandra's getting herself in with the housewives.
I love that.
So cute.
So cute. But then also deadpan delivery. Larsa runs them, but she has a big mouth. She gets under my skin.
Sandra is Katie Heron. She's infiltrating. She's not totally on board, but she knows it'll keep her safe at school.
Yeah, exactly. She's a faux plastic. Exactly. Parvati starts floating Larsa and then starts floating, you know, the housewives perform. They're giving performances. Kevin agrees. Janelle brings up Larsa's shady, what she thinks is the toast for Marcus, which could have been a poisoning opportunity. Larsa continues floating her strongman theory and then has a fun moment. Good editing, like, let's go to the board. And all the housewives girlies are kind of like, wait, where's the board again? And then they all kind of scurry off to the board, which I thought was cute.
Yeah. And Larsa's pointing at all the guys. She's like, I know it's a man. And she goes, Not him at Bergie because he's too dumb. Not him, Kevin, because he's too dumb. I'm like, oh my God.
And then what happens? Oh, and then the roundtable song drops.
The roundtable theme song, guys. It's
Follow Me Down Into the Valley Night. Where Are the Flowers? Hits me every time. I get jacked up. I'm like, this continues to be a banger. Let's go.
And Alan walking out in like his little like pre-table look, like before he gets there, and he's in his, I call it his Laverne and Shirley look, because it's got his initials on it, and then he's just got his like pointy fucking like troll's hair. I'm like, you are the cutest person I've ever seen.
Okay, we get to the banishment, and Janelle starts, and she brings up Larsa's cheers to Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
The cheers is weird. Larsa, well, I think you're weird.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Larsa. That she came back with that. I'm like, guys.
No, this episode and the next one, it's like people are really voting on how they feel about people as people. Mm-hmm.
They're going emotionally, and that's why they keep fucking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're just like, whatever. I just think you're annoying. You should go home.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's not the game.
Yeah. But I can see why that's where these games often start, because you don't have much else to go on. So, like, if you have to go to something, like, I guess who's going to make the next day less annoying? Let me get out this person I think is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Larsa continues to push the it's a big guy theory, pointed at CT, because she says that CT told her that he's an actor, which is true. He's been in a few movies. I haven't watched them, but they look hilariously bad.
I haven't, but I see the trailers that he drops on his Instagram.
She said to him, too, she goes, I think you have the ability to be a traitor. And it's like, yeah, most of you do.
Yeah, that's why you guys are all cast on this.
Right?
Yeah.
She says a lot without saying much at all, that Larsa.
Mm-hmm.
She's the
You
worst.
Say it best when you say nothing at all.
And then Kevin and MJ start going at it. And this is where Kevin really starts to get on my nerves as well. Mm-hmm. Like, Kevin just like, if I was a traitor, I'd go after you, MJ, because I find you highly annoying. I'm like, okay,
highly
pot,
annoying.
Kettle,
you're
black.
The one?
Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
No.
Tamara jumps in on Kevin, says he overacted at the funeral. And then Parvati uses that as her in and kind of makes her moment. And she's like, you know who else performs? The housewives.
Mm. I like my jaw dropped.
And Phaedra is pissed. Yeah. This was a moment.
Pissed.
Huge moment. Which I loved. I mean, great television. Just great fucking TV.
Which, just to backtrack, Dan and Parvati basically had a conversation being like,
oh, that's right.
Right.
You know, we've got to give them something. So, you know, we can go in on Phaedra. And I'm just like, you guys are doing that. You're not being very smart right now.
This is what I don't, because I'm a huge Parvati stan. And I'm like, Parvati, you're choosing the wrong horse. You are trending towards Dan, and I hate it. You need to be trending more towards Phaedra. Mm-hmm. And she, mm-hmm. I think she makes a real big misstep here. I think this is a big mistake. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But in the moment, I'm like, fuck.
But again, the traitors don't like each other either. Mm-hmm. Like, they're operating on emotions, too.
Yeah.
They're just like, I don't want you in this tower with me anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The turret. I love the turret so
the
much.
The turret.
The turret.
But yeah, Phaedra's pissed. Don't come for the housewives. We are not a game. And then we get to the vote. CT catches a stray from Larsa. MJ gets one from Peter for a weird reason. He's like, because you should have been the one that was murdered. Therefore, I will vote for you. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Peter, a little weird. John gets one from Sheree, who openly admits it's a throwaway vote. She needs more time, but she's got her eye on the gamers.
Poor John doesn't have a click.
He really doesn't.
He doesn't have a click or a clue. Poor John. He's
just there.
Yeah. Although you can see later in the next episode, he's kind of in with like Peter and Kevin. Peter, Kevin, mm-hmm. John are kind of an interesting developing mm-hmm. trio, I think. Mm-hmm.
But in this one, at this roundtable, at one point, he goes, I've come to the conclusion that you're very smart and acting well at Kevin. I'm like, John, you have no friends and no idea like who's a smart person.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon, because you're right. I just mentioned this kind of trio, but then also John votes for Kevin, as do Phaedra, yeah. MJ, and Tamara. Kevin gets four mm-hmm. votes. And then Larsa gets the rest. So Larsa has 8 votes from Dan, CT. He says to protect himself, Bergie, Janelle, Parvati, Kevin, Trishelle, and Sandra. Larsa's banished with 8 votes and reveals she's been a faithful. And Sheree, great reaction. She's like, don't act surprised. You guys are fucking killing me. Like, come on, you fucking idiots. Which I loved. Trishelle's getting like, she's like, sad. I didn't like my vote. And Sheree's like, then why'd you vote? Like, what? Yeah. Again, like, what are you doing then?
I love seeing CT and Trishel getting along.
I do too.
Yeah, because that's new.
It is new. Yeah. And they mention that as they're like around the castle. They like talk about, and Trishel talks about like he's a dad now. And Trishel mentions that like he's become a more self-aware, kind of nicer person. What else happened around the castle? Not much. Sheree keeps talking about the gamers are playing the shit out of us. She brings up Janelle's name. Mm-hmm. So that starts here.
I appreciated that. I'm not a Janelle fan.
Apparently Janelle is like an iconic Big Brother player, and a lot of people love Janelle. And I can kind of see it. Like, she's great. I could see how she's good TV in like a game that maybe makes more sense for her gameplay. I just don't think she's playing this game very well to this stage.
What is Big Brother?
That's what I need to know. Remy, it's like, how do you play Big Brother?
What the fuck is the goal of that show? I thought it was just like, okay, people live in a house and there's more cameras than real world.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like take Survivor and real world and mash them together. I think it's like the real world aspect of everyone's trapped in a house 24/7 under a microscope. But then it's very Survivor-esque, is like you can win immunities and people vote and there's a jury at the end that determines the winner. So it's kind of like a mashup of those two things, is my understanding.
But like, what are you doing all day? Just talking to people and trying to
pretty
make
much.
Friends?
And then I think there's challenges to win advantages or safety or vetoes or things like that. But it's basically a vote out, last person wins type game.
It's so bizarre. It's like one of the longest running reality shows. People fucking love it. There's so many different versions. I refuse to look into it. It's like how I feel about The Godfather. Like, everyone's like, it's fantastic. I'm like, no.
I refuse. And Darren makes fun of me all the time. Our mutual friend, Darren Karp. She's like, it's one of her favorite shows. And she's like, all you have to do is watch three nights a week. I'm like, you've lost me. I'm sorry, but no.
Yeah.
I will not do that.
No, and I'm down for that. I watch Love Island every night. Every night.
Yeah, I couldn't do that either. That's just too much for me. Incredible tease moment, the cliffhanger for this episode. We're in the turret, hoods come down, and just Phaedra's like, that wasn't cool, Parvati. No one likes you.
No one likes you.
Everyone thinks you're a fucking traitor. Dan's playing dumb. And this also bugged me. I'm like, Dan, you know exactly what happened. He's like, what happened? I'm like, what? You were there, Dan. Shut up.
Yeah. You also had the conversation beforehand with her.
Yeah. Shut up, Dan. And then Phaedra, thankfully, though, also like turns on him too. He's like, we can play fair.
She did.
I've been playing fair. Don't do that to me. Both of you.
Both of you.
Boom. End of episode. I'm like, yes. I love this show.
Like, we all screamed. Mm-hmm. Like, we were just like, what?
I have rarely been so mad to have to wait a week for the next episode of something.
I know. I was like, this isn't a double episode?
I was pissed. I think this was the best of the four so far. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, like, they've all been great, but this one, like, with the funeral, the Ek and Sue of it all, the, you know, the Phaedra turn, the inter-traitor fighting, and the way it ended, I'm like, yes, this is traitors at its finest.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so on to episode 5, A Killer Move. So we start right where we left off. We're in the turret.
Back at that turret, Phaedra versus Parvati.
I also loved right before the turret, when Parvati's, like, doing her talking head, she's like, Phaedra might be mad at me. I'm like, yeah. Phaedra wants to kill you.
It's like, you're lucky you're a traitor or you would be dead tonight.
You'd be dead.
I know. And Parvati, I give her a little bit of credit. This is Survivor Parvati. Like, she can adjust to a situation, and she, I think, scrambles pretty effectively. She's like, I wasn't talking about you, I was talking about Larsa. I wasn't sure if you were really mad or just pretending, so I was playing it up and like really kind of diffuses the situation pretty quickly.
And then has clearly gone to therapy because she was like, I want to put the ball in your court tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I care about you.
Yeah.
But also, like, I love her realizing, like, right away, like, oh, shit, I didn't fuck with the wrong one.
Yep.
OK, let's fix this.
And you can tell because, like, she knows when to not say more than what you need. Like, Phaedra's like, I am not an actress. And probably just like, got it. And that's all she says, you know, just like, okay, got it. But it works. To your point, like, gives control. She's like, you know, mea culpa, peace offering, Phaedra, it's your murder. You take it. You go with it. Dan, in an interview, is like, I lit the stick of dynamite and now I'm just watching the fireworks. I'm like, fuck you, Dan.
Did you, Dan? That was the moment that I was like, I hope he's going home this episode. I know. Banish this motherfucker.
So then Phaedra's murder suspects. A little surprising here. Sandra. Mm-hmm.
I was crushed. Mm-hmm. Crushed when her name came up.
And then also Tamra. Sandra and Tamra. I'm like, okay. Yeah. An actual housewife and someone who's been getting close to the housewife's crew. I wasn't sure that Phaedra had it in her to like kill those who are closest to her, but I'm like, this is effective. This is gonna be, it's gonna,
of course she does.
It's gonna take the,
it takes the heat off of her. Although I feel the most disposable housewife would have been Sheree, but you probably just need to keep Sheree around.
Yeah.
Sheree, I don't know many of these, again, I don't know these housewives, but Sheree is coming off as like, I'm liking her more and more with every episode. Sheree.
I love Sheree.
She's been very low key.
Very low key. She seems very kind of clued in, but not letting people in on it.
Her outfits have been crushing as well.
Yeah, but not being as obviously low key as someone like Dan, who doesn't know how to be low key. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
She's in a good position, Sheree, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so at breakfast, CT and Janelle are the first ones in. And it stops my pattern of they always put a traitor in first, but it does now create a theory. This is my new theory. And it's what I've been hoping all along, that once a traitor does get banished, because it always happens, and then Alan's like, okay, now I get to recruit somebody new because that always happens. My guess is it'll be CT and that the trend will have continued. And he was the first one in and that signals that he will be an eventual traitor.
Oh my God, I would love CT as a traitor.
But how would they have known that?
They wouldn't have, but I just think serendipitously he will become a traitor.
Okay.
And it's like vibes.
I would love that.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. Swap Dan with CT.
Oh,
yeah.
Now we're talking. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm down for that.
Janelle throws some quick shade, doesn't think any housewife at all has the skill or strategy to be a traitor. So they're all off of her board,
like,
basically.
That's insane.
I love how they underestimate these housewives. It's like, guys, like, literally have it's it just kind of shows that they haven't seen the shows, because like, no, it's not like an all-out like competition show, but like they are sneaky and like,
duplicitous
will throw you under the bus in a second. Like, don't, like, so untrustworthy.
They're also like the one show where the only thing you have to do is like live your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we get a few things here, mostly the burgeoning Peter and Bergie romance. Bergie has professed his undying love and devotion to Peter. He's his number one.
So cute. Yeah.
I think so too. And Peter is now like, you know, I think it's definitely Dan. Like, Peter is really starting to hone in on Dan.
No, the fact that Peter clocks Dan shows how bad Dan is at this.
Yeah.
And I mean, well, you know what? After this episode, I will give Peter a little bit more credit. But at this point, I didn't know what I will know by the time this episode is over. And I'm just like, Peter and Kevin were the same for me, as in, like, so dumb. And I'm just like, so if Peter can tell that it's you, like, you're doing a terrible job.
And by the way, guys, if you're hearing this podcast, Kevin, Bergie, we're saying dumb in like a cute way.
Yeah, we know you guys aren't.
We don't think you're annoying.
Endearing. Yeah. Again, this is all a performance. We don't know the real you. This is could very well just be the on-screen performance for sure.
Yeah.
The last ones to enter, and I love when they do this, they stick a traitor in there. So it's Phaedra, Sandra, and Tamra. But I love when like the traitor has to be the last one to walk in with the person who saved, knowing who they murdered. And Tamra's murdered.
Yay. Oh, wait. Who's not here?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. Tamra, my bestie. Oh, no. And people are surprised.
And then we cut to Tamra.
Right. And before we cut to her, I was like, she's going to be fucking pissed. And then we see her crying. And I was like, oh, she doesn't know who killed her.
Right.
Like, she's just still feeling vulnerable and feeling like the loss of not being on this show anymore. But like, then she goes, I just hope it wasn't a housewife. And I was like, this reunion is going to be crazy.
I was just going to say, in that moment, I thought reunion.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then I think maybe the moment I'll remember forever from these two episodes, not to spoil our segment later. Sandra is in disbelief. Oh my God, it's Tamra. Cut to Phaedra. Where are the boiled eggs?
Where are the boiled eggs? Y'all got some more boiled eggs? Let me get that boiled egg.
Where are the boiled eggs? And then just repeats it. Boiled eggs?
Anyone? Boiled eggs? I can't. I'm like.
And then didn't she eat one?
Good acting, bad acting, I don't care. Iconic, incredible.
You know, insane move.
Get this woman a boiled egg.
Yeah.
I lost it. Alan comes in, lays down an incredible pun. A real housewife lost a real house life. I'm like, yes, Alan, that's my man. I love it. And then he teases a surprise. A surprise is on its way to the castle. But anyway, we'll get to that.
I mean, can we just talk about the way he throws the dead traitor's picture? Because I just love that.
Yeah.
It's great. Just so good. Okay, so now we're post-breakfast. CT is pressuring Dan, like, give me a theory, Dan.
Do you have any red strings?
Give me anything, you know? And he's like, oh, I don't know, I'm close. And Peter's just like whispering to John, like, yo, Dan's a traitor. Like,
yeah. And then Janelle says, I know Dan's tactics from Big Brother.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck is Big Brother? But also, like, how are the tactics the same? Like, if on Big Brother, now that we know, like, you have to, like, become friends with people, like, he's just laying low. He's not actually becoming friends with anybody.
Right. But I think and she brings this up later, is like, I recognize the way Dan plays, and this is how he always starts. He always starts quiet and reserved. And then when he pounces, it's brutal and it's cutthroat, and he's a strategic player. So she's kind of seeing the seeds of his game that she's recognized before.
Okay.
Trishelle says the line that happens in every episode that I love. Guys, we have to get a traitor this time. Like, we just have to.
We have to.
Doesn't she? She always, that's her line.
Her line. Yeah, she's very good at delivering this line.
I wish Dan said that. I wish he swapped out one, we're getting close, with we need to get a traitor this time.
You know what, guys? I'm getting pissed. This time you really should try hard to get a traitor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, we haven't been. Okay. I love poor Kevin just puts all his eggs in the Janelle basket. He's like, I've been observing her very closely since day one, everybody. And I'm pretty sure that Janelle, I'm like, okay, Kevin. And then Janelle turns it. She points back to Dan. Like you said, we get into the next mission.
Oh, this is the one that I thought was going to be a familiar one. I thought this one was
going to
be...
Did you think it was going to be the bells?
The bells. Yeah.
Yes.
And I literally go, ooh, I love this challenge.
Yeah.
And my sister goes, the bells? And I was like, yes. And then it wasn't the bells.
I know, but similar to the bells. It's a very similar type game. So this, I think, is...
the game that was made for me.
This one is so fucking funny.
I love this game. And this is the type of game that the Traitors is best at. Because more often than not, I'm like, challenges, whatever. But when you have these people scurrying around the castle looking for just tchotchkes... Uh-huh. And stuffed birds that make noise. I'm like, yes, this is everything the Traitors needs to be for challenges.
And making those noises.
Imitating the bird calls.
Yes.
And running around. Coo, 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 coo. Like, I was like, this is like a first year movement and voice class in acting school.
Yeah.
Like, they're all like, ha 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 ha. Like, so that they don't forget it.
No, guys, I feel like this challenge was made for me. Me and Mo literally used to do like bird call, like quizzes. Like, before we went to bed, like,
amazing.
We were really into birding. So I have this app, and we would, like...
And you're willing to admit this on the podcast for everyone to hear.
I'm admitting it on the podcast, everyone. Okay. I did...
Wait, this is your husband.
This is my husband. We are married, and we were married when this... we were living together.
Okay.
And got engaged. So, guys, he also proposed to me, knowing that I would do bird call quizzes with him in bed.
Well, similarly, my boyfriend, the first time I thought, here's a smart guy, was he told me that he could identify 200 species of bird.
Oh my God.
And I was like, very ooh, impressive. Like, I thought this fuckboy was just a fuckboy, but he knows birds. And it got me on board. And it also, he was like texting the entire time during this episode. And then the bird call started happening. This man lifts his head, gets so invested.
The thing about, it's funny because I've noticed people in my life have also gotten more into bird watching. My cousin and my niece,
it's so fun,
very much like birds. They have a bird book. We've created devised a game. My nickname is now Uncle Bird Book. So I do get the appeal.
Yeah.
There is something to identifying and looking for and listening to birds.
We had a whole discussion too. Oh, dinosaurs are birds. No, birds are dinosaurs. No, not all dinosaurs are birds, but all birds are dinosaurs.
So some logistics here. So the mission is this. They need to split into groups. Six stay outside. And there is some jockeying over who's going to be the outdoor six, because only the six outside can be up for finding a shield. Mm-hmm. And Kevin gets very aggressive. MJ gets very aggressive. Trishelle gets really feisty about it. Janelle. So it ends up being Peter, Janelle, and they pair up. Trishelle and Bergie, they pair up. And Kevin and Sheree, they pair up. And those are the six outdoors. And they need to run around, follow a map, find little bird call huts. They listen to a bird call. And then they have to relay that call vocally over a walkie-talkie back to the house. Mm-hmm. And then the house needs to remember what that call is, generally shout it out as they're running around the house, and then find these stuffed birds, hit a little button, play it back, and like match the bird to the sound. And for everyone they do, they earn $2,500. So that's kind of the challenge. And it's super fun and goofy and silly. And I loved every mm-hmm. minute of it.
And I really felt like Alan was genuinely enjoying himself.
He was so tickled.
He loved it.
Also, besides the cuties running around the house, Trishelle and Bergie running around in their little outfits. Like, for some reason, the little vests and little hats looked so cute on them. And I was just giggling so hard.
And wait, did she have the little, the mitten things on too?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Trishelle being like, my gloves maybe look like a silky chicken. Other highlights, CT being silly on the walkie and Phaedra just falling more and more in love with CT. Like, she is so horny for CT. I love it. Let's see.
How is Kevin so good at the bird songs?
Because he's been to a college acting class.
But really bad at maps. They took so long trying to find the shields that they just abandoned it. They're like, fuck this. So Bergie and Trishelle end up getting the shields along the way. And then Peter starts showing some real gameplay. He's like, guys, I have a friggin' plan. Mm-hmm. There's six of us out here. And what if we just don't tell anybody who won the shield? And therefore, traitors can't come for any of the six of us. And we expand our kind of like safety vest on this. I'm like, that's solid, Peter. You're thinking like a challenger, thinking like a gamer, you know?
Yeah. But maybe he's also watched another season, because that's a classic shield move.
It is.
Like whenever a team wins and they're like, oh, we're just not going to tell anybody who got the shield because then they won't go for any of us.
Yeah. I want this show, Remy, to do what they do in UK, where it's like you walk into the room with the little chests and you open
that's
it up
I'm
and
saying.
See if you get a shield.
Yeah.
I want more of that.
Wait, what is that? What do you mean?
So in UK, if you win the challenge, like the shields aren't found during the challenges, but if you're on the winning team, you then get the opportunity to walk into like the secret shield room.
The armory.
The armory. That's right. And there's like, say there's four of you on the team. There's four little chests and you open one. And if you get the shields, you get the shield. But so no one knows who gets it and everyone kind of keeps it a secret. So it has the similar sort of effect of Peter's plan.
And then he starts scheming about Dan too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he starts setting his trap.
Like he's like, oh, I'm going to tell people that he got the shield. Or who does he say? Me and Janelle won the shield, even though they didn't.
He basically picks his three most likely suspects and he lies to all three of them. And he's like, okay, I'm going to lie to, he picks CT, Dan, and Parvati. Mm-hmm. Two for three. He's pretty fucking on it, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm going to tell them that we got the shield and therefore we can expose them if they go for Bergie or Trishelle.
Yes.
That means that they believed Peter.
Yes.
And they would be exposed, right?
Yeah. And I do think it would have worked if he didn't tell so many people. Like he could, we know that there's probably only one guy.
Right.
So I think he could have told Dan and CT, but also the fact that CT threw Dan's name out, like I think it's safe that you could tell those two.
Yeah.
And that it wouldn't be relayed back to each other.
Right. That's a great point. Meanwhile, we get Janelle really pushing for Dan. And this is what I wrote in my notes. I wrote, it's a Big Brother showdown. Finally, get one of these two out of here.
Yeah.
Kevin's not sure whether to go for it or not. And I wrote, he's just being so whiny and annoying. I'm really turning on Kevin, guys. He's just bugging me this episode. Very kind of.
He
like,
really bugged me at the round table.
Oh, look, we'll get like, to that. Dude. Holy shit.
Yeah.
So then MJ reveals to Dan, which I was surprised, like, oh, MJ is going to, like, they have something going on with Dan, which is interesting. Reveals to Dan that Janelle's gunning for him. But then he runs right to Parvati, and Parvati's like, on one hand, she's like, okay, I need to like stand for my traitor pal here. We need to gun for Janelle. But then she's
stand by your Dan.
But also, and I think more crucially, you could see her just gaming the situation. She's also like, but wait, how the fuck did that happen, Dan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like starting to like turn the screws to him. Like, how did you let this happen? Like, yeah. She's your number one, your big brother people. How did mm-hmm. we get here? You know?
But she's also like, don't leave me with Phaedra in the turret. She's going to kill me.
Oh, so true. And then Alan comes back. It's time to deliver his next twist. And we get a quick little flashback to day one, which I don't think we actually saw. And they just kind of like added in bonus footage when he's like, there's 21 of you for now.
Oh,
like, I didn't pick up on that at the time.
No, I remember him saying that. Yeah. But I just thought that it was like a
less.
It didn't occur to me that it was that someone else was coming in.
Yeah.
I thought he was saying for now because you guys are going to start going home because people are going to be murdered and banished.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did think it was weird that there were 21 people, though. So this does make sense. Like, why would you start with 21? Mm-hmm. That's such an awkward number.
Mm-hmm.
But the big reveal is that, dun, 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 returning from season one, Kate Chastain from Below Deck is back on the show.
We literally all cheered. Me, my sister, her fiance, my boyfriend, we were like, yes, fucking Kate!
So, Brandy, you need a little bit of background on Kate's role on season one.
Yeah, because I will say that, like, I actually wrote down Kate as a secret player for me was, like, the height of a non-event. Because I'm like, why are we...
Hilarious.
Like, I know about her from Below Deck, but, like, I have no idea of her history on the show. So, yes, please, enlighten me.
Okay, so, one, the fashion's amazing. Love Kate.
Mm-hmm. I liked what she was wearing.
Two, Kate... No, this is nothing compared to what she can bring to the table.
Okay, I'm excited.
Kate is one of the funniest players I've ever seen in Traitor's history because she's so smart. She, like, literally, like, was getting everything, mm-hmm. but then everyone would just turn on her. And instead of defending mm-hmm. herself, she'd be like, all right, whatever, fucking send me home. And eventually it got to the place where she just didn't give any fucks in any of the challenges because she was
throwing money away during the challenges.
They're gonna vote for me. So there's this one challenge where they have to like push barrels of like money, different values up a hill. And Kate's holding these little barrels. And then she just realized she's like, I hate everyone. They hate me. I'm tired. My arms are tired. She just starts throwing the barrels like to the side and out into the field. And like, everyone's like, Kate, stop it. And she's like, what? Like, what?
She understands the game more than anybody, honestly, is what I think. Like, she was laser focused. She had a lock on who the traitors were, at least one or two of them the whole time, was very outspoken about it. And that's why the traitors kept her. She was a great smokescreen the whole time. So very outspoken, you know, very savvy player, but just openly won't give a shit and will say whatever the fuck she wants. And including some of her entry lines, which were incredible. Like, even before she arrives at the chair, she's like, oh, it's probably a love letter. Alan's obsessed with me. One.
Yeah.
You know? And then she's like pissed she's not a traitor. She's like, I just wanted to see the turret. I wanted a special coat.
Yeah.
I want to get rid of people who I fucking hate. And then she ends her thing with, I'm just going to have a good time and fuck with shit. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the Kate Chastain energy.
Yeah.
And then the song drops.
Never Over the Roundtable theme music.
Roundtable theme music.
You guys, I don't really notice this music.
It's the same song every time. You're going to realize now.
Especially if you've got the closed captioning on, seeing the lyrics come up, it's too much. It's just like everything about the show is so over the top. And I'm just like, thank you for extending that over topness to the music design.
Yeah. The velvety voice every time. Dead man walking to his fate. Vengeance is sweet on the tongue. I'm like, yes, let's go.
It's like Selling Sunset music. It's like written for the show and it just tells you exactly what's going on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's very much that.
Yeah.
So at the table, Alan comes up. He's like, one more thing. Adds a chair. Kate arrives. Again, she's like, they might think I'm a bitchy person or wild and unpredictable. And they're correct.
That's correct. Yeah.
So here's something that I was curious about. So Alan's like, all right, so Kate gets a vote. I'm like, all right, interesting. What no one says or is unremarked upon, could she have been voted out instantly? Or do you think that was kind of like an unspoken?
I don't know.
That's honestly what I thought was going to happen.
I thought she should have gotten immunity.
I think she did, and it just wasn't remarked upon on screen. I'm fairly positive that Alan's like, she gets a vote, and also off camera, like, also, you can't vote for Kate this time. But it's less dramatic if you say that. So I think they just probably didn't air that part. But that must have been true.
Casting's right? going to be pissed.
Yeah, like,
you don't send Kate home. We just flew Kate. Her out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then Kevin starts, and Kevin just really takes a turn in this roundtable. And he starts by saying, let me talk uninterrupted, because you should know, Kate, everyone interrupts each other around here. And then he starts talking about Janelle, and it's just weird. Kevin was yeah. so weird during this roundtable.
It was really weird energy.
I will say, so Kevin's like talking about Janelle, and Berkey makes up a really good point. Berkey also showing a little bit of smarts here, and he has a couple good lines around this, the rest of the episode, but he's like, Janelle's actually a faithful because she's making noise and calling people out.
Like, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the traitors like that chaos, and that's why she's still here. Janelle, on yeah. her part, she calls out Dan, CT, and Sandra, just totally turning against any sort of gamer alliance that she might have been in.
Mm-hmm. That was a mistake on her part.
I think that was her nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Sandra gets pissed. CT gets pissed. He makes the same. And he did the same thing with Max. Like, hey, the hot seat's on you, and now you're just throwing me under the bus. Like, mm-hmm. Everyone sees what you're doing, like, kind of calls their game out. John sticks up for Janelle and says that he thinks Kevin is the traitor, even though he doesn't end up voting for him. But this is mm-hmm. when he's like, Kevin, you keep shifting your persona, whereas Janelle is a consistent persona, which felt very politician-y mm-hmm. from the politician. Yeah. And then the best part, Kevin is now replying to John, and they're kind of going back and forth, and Kate is whispering, like, who the fuck is this person talking? And Kevin's like, excuse me, Kate, can you listen while I'm speaking here at this table? I'm just like, Kevin, you...
The way he said it was just so... I was just like...
Awful.
Ugh. It felt just so, like, misogynistic and, like...
Yes.
Ugh. Get out of my face.
That's when Kevin really, like... I just wrote, ugh, in my notes.
Like, it was like his voice was dripping with contempt.
Let's see what else happens here. Peter turns it back around on Dan. It has to be at least one guy. Dan, you've contributed the least. Dan tries to appeal to Kate, and Kate's like, yeah, but you win everything, Dan. Like, kind of knows a little bit about him, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dan says his game is to really learn to trust a few people, trust in them 1,000%, and then sit back and wait. And I'm just like, again, I'm not buying it, Dan. Trishelle says he's not a good faithful because you don't talk game. You're not helping the group, which I thought was smart. And then Janelle and Peter call out Dan, like, literally, they're like, Dan, name somebody, like, say a name right
name
now.
Name someone, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I fucking mm-hmm. dare you, say someone. And he says Janelle, he's been blindsided by his friendship, blah, blah, blah. And then Kate's just like, I love a round table.
Yeah.
The communication, the drama, the talking shit. I love it. Like, yes. So we get the vote. So Dan catches 5. Mm-hmm. Not enough, but the tide is starting to turn. So Peter votes for him, John, Janelle, Trishelle, and Berkey, again, with a really smart thought, he's like, it's incredible to me that Janelle is your number one ally, mm-hmm. and that's all you have so far,
yeah.
is just that you don't trust Janelle. Like, I'm like, good on you, Berkey. I'm digging it. I like it.
Big old Berkey brains.
Yeah, Berkey brains.
Bergalicious.
And then Janelle gets 9 votes. So she gets MJ, Phaedra, Parvati, Kevin, Dan, CT, Sheree, Kate, and Sandra. And this was the back and forth where Sandra's like, she votes and then she takes a sip of water. And Janelle's like, yeah, drink that water. Are you nervous? And Sandra's like, no, my mouth is dry.
Yeah.
No. And it's basically like, you're a bitch. No, you're a bitch. You're a traitor. No, you're a traitor.
You're a traitor.
Like, neither of you are traitors. Chill.
I know.
I wrote in quotes, you're a traitor. And then neither were traitors.
Yeah.
But you can even hear Alan like chime in, like, okay, all right, guys, like it got heated. I feel like people had to like chime in.
I always think it's interesting when he chimes in. Like, I wish we knew if there was a time limit for the round table or if he chimes in, like, because if he chimed in earlier, it would have been Dan. If he chimed in a little bit later, it could have moved on from Janelle. Like, I feel like there is some production in this where they're like, okay, they're off the traitors. Like, I think production wants the traitors to win, whereas I always want the faithfuls to win.
I don't know, though. I don't know if production wants them to win, but I don't know if they're ready for Dan to be voted out yet. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they were ready for whatever twist they have in store for selecting a new traitor or whatever, you know? Like, maybe it's that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good point. I want to look now more for, like, the hand of the producer in this.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely there, but I haven't been looking for it.
Wait, who wrote on their vote for Janelle? Because I just wrote down, heart you, Janelle.
I don't know.
It's like, that's worse.
It was Sandra. No, I'm just kidding.
No. Wasn't Phaedra the one who was like, Janelle, but I hope we can still be friends? And Janelle's just like, okay. It might have been Phaedra.
Yeah.
So the final vote is 5 for Dan, 9 for Janelle. Janelle is banished. Mm-hmm. Reveals she's a faithful. And Sheree's like, wow. And then Berge's like, yeah, for some people. I'm like, I like Berge.
Yeah.
Being a little bit more outspoken here.
I mean,
here.
Berge seems to be like he could be making his own bed, but he does have a shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're around the castle after the banishment. And again, Peter's like, Dan, speak up for God's sake and say something. And he still does. He's like, I have a shot, but you'll hear about it tomorrow.
Whatever.
What else around the castle happened? Oh, CT flirting with MJ was just incredible.
Hilarious.
CT flirting with every housewife. They all have a thing for CT, and CT, I think, is happy to
oblige.
Happy to oblige. Kate is getting her bearing. She's bummed she didn't get to meet Ekansu, Love Island fan, mm-hmm. Kate Chastain. mm-hmm. And also, too, like, again, to your point, Remy, just like, immediately you can tell she's savvy at this game because, like, Parvati's around. She's like, does anybody want a drink? And then she walks away. And then they start talking about, oh, yeah, someone was poisoned. She's like, oh, then I would never accept a drink from Parvati.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. just kind of instantly catches on to shit. I'm like, mm-hmm. Kate.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we're back in the turret for the last scene of this fifth episode. Mm-hmm. And Dan is like, all right, I'm going to be even more annoying. And now I'm going to try and steamroll these ladies and be like, I gave you the last two votes and now I really need this vote. You could see a little bit of Parvati and Phaedra coming together, though, because they're like, mm-hmm. all right, Dan, you need to be more vocal, but don't be mm-hmm. shitty about it. So, like, who's your name? And Dan's like, well, I'm going to sleep on it. And they're like, bitch, not to us, too. Like, fucking tell us who you're talking about, you know?
I was like, dear Dan, this is going to lose you the game.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Make any decision. Just literally one decision.
But then they catch on to Peter's plan.
Yeah.
They do.
They're like, oh, Peter told me this.
I was happy about that.
Parvati catches on, which is, again, this is classic Survivor Parvati. Like, yes, she is good at this shit because she's like, all right, so Peter came to me and said they have the shield. And Dan's like, oh, he told me too. And Parvati's instantly like, okay, then he must be lying because why the fuck would he tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah. She like caught it instantly.
But what I didn't understand, though, is why the conversation didn't immediately go to, all right, so if we know that they don't have the shields, then which of the other four do we think have them?
Right.
Or does that mean that we need to kill Peter tonight mm-hmm. since we already got rid of Janelle?
I wonder if there is, and I'm sure there is, conversation we didn't get, because what I also noticed, there was one moment during the challenge where Parvati was like, Kevin and Sheree, what's taking so long? Where are the clues? So maybe in the turret, then Parvati's like, okay, Peter says it was him and Janelle, so it's clearly not him and Janelle. So if it's between the other four, maybe she's leaning towards it's Kevin and Sheree because they took so long to get us clues. They might have been finding the shields or mm-hmm. finding their way to a shield or something like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
yeah.
So the back and forth becomes like, Dan's like, listen, I need this murder and I need to roll the dice on Berge. He's clearly coming for me. Parvati's nervous about it. Phaedra can kind of see it both ways. They end up the options as we leave the episode, playing it safe with either John, Sandra, or MJ. I hate that Sandra keeps coming up. Like,
I know. Mm-hmm. It should be MJ because she is smart.
Yeah.
And she's on to Dan.
Yeah.
And she's on to Dan as well. And John wrote down Dan's name too. Mm-hmm. Or they can risk it with Berge. So
I hope they risk it with Berge because then that means that Peter's plan still worked.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the big tease out. And Dan leaves us with this will either win him the game or lose him the entire thing. This moment right here.
And he's so right.
I think he is. Yeah.
Yeah. If Dan's not banished next week, I will eat my hat.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, so did you guys watch the next time on? Because.
No.
Yeah, I did.
I did. And there's.
And I saw a little something in there.
There's a spoiler.
Like, oh, wait.
There's a full on spoiler.
I did. Yeah, I paused at the round table.
Me too. I counted.
Yeah, everybody's still there.
Everyone's still there. And then we see Berge.
Well, but the thing is, it's like he's still, but like even if Berge had the shield. So even if he killed Berge, Berge wouldn't die.
Right. But what I'm saying
but is, that's what we're saying.
That coupled with there's 13 at the table means mm-hmm. very clearly they ended up taking a shot on Berge and it was blocked mm-hmm. and everyone remains.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now, so now the cliffhanger is actually, will they suss out it's Dan from that knowledge?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So after five episodes, this leaves us with our traitors are still Phaedra, Parvati, and Dan for now. Mm-hmm. We saw Ekansu and Tamra murdered. Deontay left. And then Larsa and Janelle were banished. And they added $10,000 to their prize pot. So they're at $75,500. So that's where we're at after four and five.
I love it. Ugh. Can't wait for six. Why is Thursday so far away?
I know.
What a time.
All right. So to close out this episode of TV BFFs, we're going to do a little bit of BFF lightning round and talk about and select three things. What we thought was the best move by a traitor throughout these two episodes. Who is our favorite faithful and the moment that we'll remember forever.
Okay.
So our little mini best favorite forever. So let's start with what do we think was the best move by a traitor in these two episodes?
I think Phaedra killing Tamra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
That's really good. That's good.
Yeah, really smart.
I was going to say Parvati sussing out Peter's plan instantly.
Mm-hmm. That's a good move. That's-
but if she can't convince Dan, then it's kind of
a moot point.
It doesn't matter, you know? So I would agree with you guys. I think Phaedra's murder was really smart and got the heat off her instantly. Okay, who's our favorite faithful?
It's between Peter and Bergy.
I was going to say Peter. I was like, Peter just really impressed me. And, you know, I also like find him so attractive.
Yeah.
I hate
cute.
It. But I just, oh,
he's cute.
Every time he comes on, I'm like, oh, look at that face. I love it.
I'll be on this similar train. Peter's fine. I'm really enjoying Bergy, especially now that he's becoming more vocal. Every time he has like one extra interview or one little snide remark or response to someone, I'm like, continue coming out of your shell.
Yeah.
Like, I like seeing what you're doing. So I like the Bergy.
And running around in his little vest and hat. So cute.
Yeah. Second place would be Sandra. I will always love Sandra and her running. It sounds like a dog, but it's not. It sounds like a dog, but it's
it
not.
It sounds like a dog, but it's not. Yeah.
Maybe the moment I'll remember forever. It's in the running.
I think the moment I'll remember forever is boiled eggs.
Yeah, it's between those two for me as well.
Boiled eggs.
Yeah.
I think that takes the cake. And the last thing, Remy, in case we don't get you back, what are your predictions? Who do you think goes the distance? Do you think any of these traitors make it all the way? Do you think there are faithfuls that have it in them to suss everyone out and win the money? What do we think?
I think Parvati and Dan are doomed.
Okay.
Like, they just are. People were coming for Parvati as a traitor before she even was recruited.
Yeah, fair.
And if they're still voting on how they like people interpersonally, it seems, you know, Phaedra said it in a very seventh grade way, but nobody likes you, Parvati.
Yeah.
And now nobody likes you, Dan, because you just won't say anything.
Yeah.
Phaedra is flying under the radar seamlessly. I think she's going to recruit Kate or keep Kate as a...
is a shield.
If she watched season one, which I don't think she did. She's got like 19 jobs. I can't see her doing that. But yeah, maybe recruiting CT because they have their little romance.
Yeah.
And maybe she might win the whole thing. But again, I'm rooting for the faithfuls. So I hope they can get their shit together.
Well, then on the faithful end, who do you think is most likely to get the shit together and like start sniffing some people out? I said this last time, and I'm sticking with it. I want CT more involved in one way, shape, or form. So I want him to either be recruited by Phaedra, which would be incredible and iconic, or team up with Sandra and become traitor hunters and like have the two of them really like...
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Start pushing their weight around a little bit.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right.
You guys, this has been so fun.
Yes.
So fun. Thank you, Remy, for joining us in our recap of our best and favorite reality TV show that is currently on the air.
Thank you for having me.
Where can we find you, Remy? What are you up to?
You can find me at Remy Casimir on all the socials. I also still do my podcast, How Come Podcast. If you don't know how to come, want to learn, or have any other sexual things you want to think about or talk about with other people. So that's How Come Podcast. And if you want to come see a live show, RemyCasimir.com.
Wonderful. And let's get you back on this show more often. We love talking TV with you so much. Traitors or otherwise, you're always welcome. We'll find more fun TV things to talk about.
I love you guys.
Aw. Until next time, bye, friends.
Bye, friends.
Bye, friends.
You've arrived here at the critical moment.